Good day and welcome, Philadelphia and beyond. I'm Tom Donahue for Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio, the station that's working for your liberty in defense of our freedoms. That's where we stand. That's the approach I take, and I'm so glad that you are rolling with us. Let me jump right to some of the issues. Now, this is an issue, for whatever reason, always seems to create conflict and controversy for conservatives. And you might say, well, what issue could that be? Well, it has to do with animal rights, animal welfare, the fair treatment of animals, that we're the stewards of the planet and animals. But it almost seems to me like, and I don't think there should be a difference between conservatives and liberals and between different faiths and ideologies that relates to just the fair treatment of our beloved animals, you know, on the planet. And we're talking about those in the wild. We're talking about our domestic pets. We're talking about animals in general. We're talking about farm animals, food sources. And I don't have time to get into all that today. And rather than reading and playing videos and audio clips and all that, I'm sure that you've been deluged, that you have been overwhelmed with the information overload, as it relates to Harambe the magnificent gorilla. It's a tragic story at the Cincinnati Zoo. Where do you start? Well, I'm going to start with my criticisms and my critiques, and you can agree or disagree, but I'm telling you that, and I've watched more video, and a lot of it's coming from the UK, a lot of it's coming from the British press, because they had an incident in this past decade or so, where a child had fallen many, many feet. There was a protective gorilla that made sure that the other gorillas didn't harm him. But he backed off at one point where they were able to just come right in and scoop up the child. This one, and I don't know how you could view it any differently. Where, you know, who's culpable, who's responsible? And first we have to start with the parents. We're dealing with a case of abject neglect. In a complete stupor? Were they totally oblivious? Or were they saying, hey, let's take pictures and let's text and let's Facebook and let's do all kinds of other things? And I've never been a parent. I have nieces and nephews, but I can't imagine not keeping a watchful eye when you're in a zoo with a more natural setting, with less protective barriers than probably is wise. How could you not have complete monitoring and oversight of your child? It makes no sense. And I'm not quite sure if that child was able to, even though the barrier was minimal, it seems to me like the parents may have, and I guess the investigation will bear that out, it's whether they allowed for the child or maybe even hoisted the child in a situation that made it much more likely that he was able to slide into the enclosure, into the gorilla habitat. Now, I'm just gonna come right out and say that I think that there are two parties that are responsible for the death of this magnificent animal. It's the parents and it's the zoo. And it's not just the parents and it's not just the zoo. And I'm gonna tell you more. What I see in the video is the fact that this animal is being friendly, this animal's being protective. This animal is being, I think he was more alarmed by the reaction of the onlookers, you know, and the noise that they were making. Now, granted, if you were witnessing and you were, let me just read to you some of the headlines, and this might shed some light for some of you that said, well, it's just an animal. Well, this program is going to focus on a lot of things, but I believe that you can be a conservative and be compassionate, and you can be, you know, concerned about the welfare of these animals, whether they're in zoos, whether they're in the wild, whether they're domesticated and they live with us as we're their guardians and they're our pets. Starting off, gorilla killing. Police investigate boy's family. CNN. Cincinnati Zoo video shows Harambe the gorilla holding hands. New video footage of Harambe shows the 400-pound gorilla holding hands with the boy who fell into the exhibit moat Azu director insists they were right to shoot him, and the barriers were safe. Harambe, the gorilla, the zoo's killing that sets the internet on fire. Another headline, Cincinnati gorilla incident. Police investigating the boy's family. Did Cincinnati Zoo really have to kill a rare gorilla? Outrage grows after gorilla Harambe shot dead at the Cincinnati Zoo. Harambe gorilla killed at Cincinnati Zoo had to pay the price. Did Harambe the gorilla have to die? Here's what you need to know. Well, what I have seen, and I've watched extensive footage, is a gorilla that was holding hands, literally holding hands with the child. I mean, really, standing guard over him, then dragging him because he's hearing all these noises, all the standby, you know, all the gawkers, all the visitors that were witnessing this tragic event. Now, I would think that if you're a zookeeper, you know, that your expertise in the sciences relating to animals, that there would be a strategic plan in place, not just a killing plan, not just a killing field. And this argument that the tranquilizer, well, it may have taken 20 minutes. Okay, well, where's the human response as it relates to sending in the infantry? Where's the distracting? They have worked with the gorilla population for quite some time, and they are fully aware of its behavior, verbal, nonverbal. There's been so much study done. There's not an aggressive sign there, unless you think that just dragging him through the water was aggressive. But to me, at most, it was protective and or playful. I just think that there could have been another way. There could have been a better way. And you say, well, you can't take any chances. And the zoo would have been faulted. And so the city and the zoo would have been sued. The negative publicity, the fact that a loss of life or limbs. I'm not sure why many of us, and I can only speak for myself, but when you see things happen like the majestic elephants, and I don't recall the name of the elephant, but it happened this past year where these big game hunters go on these safaris and these preserves and they poach these animals or for the trophy. And it was just like this gorilla. I mean, it was very, very renowned and very regal. It was, at that time, it was the largest elephant on the continent. And it was one that so many adored, and so many would part of their safari, part of their mission was to go out and see this majestic animal. And so for all the study of like, well, we, you know, through evolution and we evolved from, well, if we really evolved from apes, and if they really are our brethren, what a heck of a way to treat them. No, I don't believe that human beings evolved from ape-like creatures. And I do believe that humans, because of spirit and because of what I've learned biblically, that we are I hate to say higher evolved, because the way we behave as human beings, I'm not so sure that we are more highly evolved. Donahue, Philly Freedom. Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio, and of course our digital partners at Red State Talk Radio and TalkStream Live worldwide. But I do believe that there is a distinction. So I think if we are the stewards and we are the caretakers and we are considered in charge, you know, of the higher order, well, then we have a responsibility. And I think that if we're going to capture animals, whether you think that the habitats are great, whether you think that they're better off or they're not, you know, they are in the care and the custody, you know, of us, we the humans. And they're there more for our entertainment and enjoyment than for their well-being. You say, well, there are some that are endangered, and a lot of good things have happened in zoos. I'm not one that wants to ban zoos. I'm not one that, but I do believe that because we should be good stewards, these type of things should be rarely, if ever, happen. And so even if the enclosures, I know we want to go more natural habitat because it's better for the animals. We also need to be able to keep them protected, keep, you know, our children protected. And there should be no way in. And it's really important that this majestic animal was slaughtered. That's right, slaughtered, murdered. And you say, well, no, murder only happens to human beings. Well, I'm sorry, but I see that still as slaughter, as murder. And I really felt that this animal, it was unwarranted. From my perspective, it was unjustified. As responsible humans, we really need to be good stewards. We need to be protectors. And we really need to be responsible. Take responsibility for the way animals are treated or mistreated. And I think that there is, for some reason, this ridiculous divide between so-called compassionate liberals and progressives and staunch and stodgy and stringent conservatives, where I think that that is just a complete fabrication. I think it's totally and completely untrue. But I think where this comes in is that there, many of the big game hunters happen to be people of great wealth and those that see everything as a trophy. And they think that's a sport. Well, a sport to me is having fair competition, that they don't have weapons, unless of course if it's a big game and they happen to utilize their weight or their antlers or their tusk or their teeth or their paws or their claws to their advantage. It's one thing if you're having to hunt in order to, let's say, protect your fellow neighbors. And there are some places where there's villages that come under siege because of wild animals. We do know that even city dwellers, you have to deal with rats and mice and insects. And so there are times that if the animals are intruding, encroaching, endangering humans, then we have to take certain precautions, certain actions. But it's responsible, it's balanced. We also know that hunting sometimes, based on overpopulation, that for the good of the herd and for the general population, that certain hunts or kills are allowed. And I also feel that hunting, as it relates to putting food on the table, especially those that have financial challenges. Also the fact that wild game tends to be very high in protein and a good natural source of protein and very healthy. And so it does serve dietary nutritional purposes. These preserves and these controlled hunts, to me, is deeply disturbing. I mean, to go on some preserve in Texas, it's not even leopards and lions and tigers and zebra and whatever, that they're not even in nature as they know it. They've been brought there for the exclusive purpose of being killed by trophy hunters. There are no humans in danger. There's no advantages to these controlled, manipulated, unfair hunts. And so I feel that they should be banned 100%. Some people say, oh, well, it's fun. Yeah, it's a lot of fun to go out and have a completely unfair advantage and slaughter animals. Yeah, that's just delightful. So no, I feel that hunting, in terms of local communities and people that are stocking their freezer with food, and it's also culling the herd to some extent, you know, unless it's an endangered species. I think that's that's fine. I think fishing is fine. But no, the wild game, you know, especially these endangered species, and going after the big trophies. And the only reason for that is to show off. But to put that up on your Facebook page and to tweet it and try to become a social media sensation and to be putting it in your office or your den, you know, to me is sad, it's sick, and it's utterly despicable. But sadly, but unfortunately, we have a lot of conservative groups that think, oh, it's just great. You know, just like the hard rocker that it you know, he's done some good things for the Second Amendment, Second Amendment rights. I think his music is horrible, and I think that his personality is deplorable and despicable. Yeah, his name's Ted Nugent. And he's also said some things about Obama and others that were absolutely bigoted, racist. Anytime you use, and we're talking about gorillas now, when you're using monkeys or gorillas or chimpanzees in relation to people that are of darker complexion, that are African American or otherwise, to me is really stooping low. It is really, you know, your gutter snipe. And so I just find it appalling and deplorable to in any way insult people of darker complexion, especially African American descent or heritage in that way. But people say, oh, well, he's for the Second Amendment. And I used to like his rock, his hard rock songs. When someone crosses the line in such offensive ways, there's no coming back. It's very rare that, at least in my eyes, that you could rehabilitate that person. If it's a misstep, a misstatement, but when it's done repeatedly and they think they can get away with it and they think it's cool and they think it's okay. So yeah, anyone that's for these big game preserve refuge hunts just for trophies, I think they should be outlawed, and I think that, quite frankly, I'd like to see harsher criminal sanctions imposed. Going back to this zoo situation at hand, I'd like to know more about what about the monitoring? What about cameras? What about warnings, detections? No detectors, no trespass signs. I don't know how much, you know, what kind of education are the people given, or instruction, or warnings when they go into these areas that could present potential dangers. You know, all these things have to be looked at. And I also want to know about the training of the zookeepers. And is there any kind of you know, rescue team? Are there any intervention teams? You know, what is the protocol? What is the preparedness? What options do they have available to themselves? Do they understand by identifying the behavior what's the best actions to take? And my sense is that even the common person, the average Joe, looked at this video and said, this kid was not in harm's way. Now, you can't guarantee that 100%, and I guess if it's your kid, you might look at it differently. But how many minutes went by before the shot was fired? If they thought the kid was in imminent danger, regardless of the behavior, why wasn't the animal shot immediately? Instead, the animal continued to exhibit friendliness, you know, protectiveness, playfulness. You know, no signs of aggression. None. Period. Well, let's take a deep breath. We'll come back with more on this. On this subject of interest for me and countless millions, apparently, worldwide. And it's an outcry, and it's really gotten a tremendous amount of publicity. Right back, hold tight.
FoodForLiberty.com sells high-quality storable foods from Numana. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or an outdoor sports enthusiast, FoodForLiberty.com has your prepackaged single-serve packs or kits for the entire family. Numana is known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, super nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. With a 25-year shelf life, you can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. Right now, FoodForLiberty.com is offering a special gift, a heavy-duty Survivor dry storage box designed for extreme bug-out conditions. This storage box is built to last, includes compass, signaling mirror, and is yours free with a $50 order. Go to FoodForLiberty.com right now and pick up your quality storable foods from Numana. To get the Survivor dry storage box, use promo code Liberty. It makes good sense to be prepared. Go to FoodForLiberty.com.
Do you know what's in your body soap? Well, I didn't know the answer until about 5 years ago when I looked at the label of my soap and was shocked to see all the chemicals. For my entire life, I had been assaulting the largest organ of my body, my skin, and to think my children were using it too. Well, a lot has changed since then. Today, my family and I operate Stone City Farms, where we make and sell all natural goat milk soap using fresh goat milk from goats we raise on our farm. Our mission at Stone City Farm is to produce high quality, all natural goat milk soap for people who want a fresh, unrefined natural product. At Stone City Farms, we offer scented and unscented soaps and a signature line of gift sets customizable to your needs. To see what our customers are saying, go to StoneCityFarm.com. Use the code NATURAL for a 20% discount. That's StoneCityFarm.com, code NATURAL for 20% off your order. You never know what could be hiding in your soap.
Welcome back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom on WFYL Radio, and our digital partners at Red State Talk Radio and worldwide with TalkStream Live. Well, the subject at hand is about the killing of the gentle giant at the Cincinnati Zoo. This gorilla, by all accounts, appears to be playful, protective, and non-threatening, non-violent. Now, we know that a 400-pound gorilla could become violent in an instant. We do know that there are the potentialities of extreme danger. But this went on for many minutes, and there was not a single indicator. And we've had the animal behavior experts, those that work with them, that have studied this, that are considered the experts. And although they may disagree on whether the fatal shot should have actually been enacted, based on the behaviors, based on the research, based on the evidence, there's nothing to indicate that this animal was going to act in a violent way. And you would have thought that this animal would have already committed a violent act if it saw this child as an aggressor, as a trespasser, as an intruder, and there was no signs or evidence of that. Now, what bothered the gorilla more than anything was the outside noise. You know, it was the audience. In terms of their jeers, and in terms of their emotional outburst. Now, you can't fault people for being scared, concerned, panicking. Where was the staff that could have ushered them away? I'd like to know, where are the security cameras? Why wasn't this situation? Why aren't all these situations better monitored? What kind of warnings, what kind of early detecting? I don't know. Is there proper signage up for non-trespassing? Is there any leaflets? Is there any education? Is there any videos? Is there any guided tour? how does this all take place? So a lot of things I'm still not quite understanding of or knowledgeable of. But I would say that I hope there's a lot of lessons learned from this at all zoos. But I really believe that there should have been a rescue team for the human and for the animal in their care and custody. Now, if that animal had bitten, scratched, stomped, done anything that warranted its killing, or even its maiming. Now, why wasn't... And I often wonder with police many times when there is no clear and convincing evidence that there is a weapon in the involvement of a potential crime, that they have to fatally injure the assailant or the one that is involved in the potential crime or conflict. And with this animal, I have to believe that there had to be a way. Again, I don't know about rubber bullets. I don't know all the things, but there has to be certain weapons, certain technologies that could have put this animal, kept this animal at bay. I mean, it could be lasers, it could be stun guns, it could be maybe some kind of gas. It could have been, and they come in with shields, they come in with protective gear, just like they do in a prison riot. You know, I just don't understand what was the preparedness, the plans, and the protocol. All these things need to be fleshed out and figured out. That's where I'm coming from. So some say, well, you're spending a lot of time on this today. Okay, well, you could actually now or later, you could turn to these programs that are talking about other things. You know, I sometimes do dwell, I feel, in a good way, and I do delve, and I do indulge in areas that I feel need to be covered. You know, so I go in depth, more comprehensively than many programs. I go long form, if you will. You know, rather than just rattling off the top news stories and recycling them and repeating them over and over again, or basically mimicking the big guy from South Florida or others, I refuse to do that. So this is really a pet peeve of mine. I mean it literally and figuratively, because I come across a lot of people, and I have over the years, that would say, oh, I'm just not an animal person. I'm not a pet person. You know, they treat you like there's something wrong with you because you're not as offended by pet hair. You know, the shedding. You know, or the licking. You know, or the messes that have to be cleaned up. Or the time spent with an animal. Well, yeah, there are certain inconveniences. There are a certain amount of challenges with any pet, any animal. But there's also rewards. And the rewards are, quite frankly, pretty darn great. And I can tell you that, and it's not a precise science, but when you encounter people that do not like animals, do not like pets in particular. Now, it's different if, and again, I have been, based on my career, based on moves, that I felt it was unfair for me to have pets. And in some ways, I regret that because I could have still been a good pet guardian, and I would have reaped the rewards. Now, as a child, I did have a lot of pets, and it wasn't until my latter adult years that I was either involved with animals based on people around me, or in most recent times, I've actually taken on the responsibility of rescue pets. And I'll tell you, it has been of tremendous value and reward. And it's taught me so much about myself. And it's taught me to be less selfish. And I think that's, again, I have not had children myself. But I think people that have been single or that have, let's say, been married or unmarried, that had never had children, they can become self-absorbed, that the universe rotates around them, But when you have children and you have family that you have to attend to and that their needs come before yours, I think that in most instances, potentially, can make for a better person, a more well-rounded person, someone that's less narcissistic, less self-centered, selfish. And that's just the way I see it. And so overall, I have found that people that, oh, and then I love the one that they feign the allergies. Oh, I'm allergic. Oh, isn't that just convenient? Now, there are some people that have mild allergies, some people that have no allergies, and there are some that have severe allergies. And I've met people that have mild or severe and still have pets because, you know, or they didn't know that they had the allergies until they adopted the pets. But they weren't going to give them up because of it. But I have talked to people at the shelters, and animals have been given up for the oddest reasons. I mean, and it is just heartbreaking. I mean, animals sometimes they're 10 years old, 12 years old, and they don't know what happened to them. They don't know why they're in a cage now. They don't know why they've been abandoned. They've been given up. And so I think I'm going to do some programs relating to the shelters and relating to doing what we can as guardians and as good stewards. But I really think that when you meet people that have pets, that really love their pets. No, I'm not talking about the crazies that, you know, have 32, you know, cats in a one bedroom apartment. I mean, that's just insane. You know, it's just not right. It's not fair. It's crazy. And I'm not talking about the people that dress up their animals for all the different holidays and make them look foolish. They don't know why that you're doing that to them. You're not doing that in any way to benefit the animal. It's for your Facebook page. Isn't that wonderful? But no, I think that, you know, providing for your animal, especially when it comes to the proper food, you know, meaning the proper diet, you know, hydration, making sure that they have, you know, toys and space and attention and sometimes discipline, you know. Anyway, more to come in the final segment. I'm Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom, putting America first, liberty lover, freedom fighter, and true seeker. Right back, hold tight.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. Angioprim. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Not being able to fall asleep is so frustrating. The tossing, the turning, the adjustment of pillows and blankets. Ugh! Eventually, you just decide to get up and start your day really early. It doesn't have to be this way, though. Power Sleep is an all-natural, non-prescription formula that will help you sleep like a baby. It contains neurotransmitter nutrients that promote the production of serotonin, which is responsible for feelings of well-being. Power Sleep is easy to digest and absorb and is made in a base of active probiotics. Don't miss another night of sleep. Order your Power Sleep at energywave.com or call 800-TURTLE-5. Add Power Vites to your cart while you're browsing. Perfect for Monday mornings. They're a complete multivitamin and mineral formula that will give you the energy you need to get through your day. Nourish your immune system and feel great. Get all the info and place your order at energywave.com. Enter code word SLEEP to get free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Okay, we are back. Tom Donahue, Philly Freedom on WFIL Radio, serving the greater Philadelphia area. I want to thank our digital partners, Red State Talk Radio and TalkStream Live Worldwide. What I've decided to focus on in the final segment here is a continuation of the theme for today, and has to do with animal rights, has to do with endangerment not only of the humankind, but animals themselves when we're entrusted with their care. And if we're in a zoo, it should be assumed that the zoo has, and the city government, say, how about all these inspections? They inspect for gas and electric and water and building codes and you name it, traffic signals. You would think there'd be enough inspectors all over the zoo that would have said, you know, or just common sense, hello, it's great that it looks beautiful and wonderful and it looks somewhat similar to the natural habitat. What happens if a child does this? What happens if you have someone that's, well, wanting to commit suicide? That someone, and that has happened. I mean, that's a little more difficult to prevent if someone is that hell-bent on somehow figuring a way to kill themselves. And zoos have reported that. You can look that up and you'll find that, you know, in the wee morning hours, you know, the zookeepers of, you know, the attendants come in and they go, there's a body down there. Because somehow they either snuck in or the security didn't detect that they remained on the premises during closing hours. So they never left. I think that there were so few precautions here. And I went over a whole list of things of a preventative nature that I don't know if any of those things were followed in terms of warning signs, in terms of any kind of monitors, any kind of literature that would have helped to educate, that would have... was there a simple detector, like, if this child is... If you cross a certain line, you know, it's like the way a metal detector goes off. You know, if you break the line of the... Of the beam, you know, it would signal that, you know. So I don't know, and I don't know to what degree do they have a rescue intervention team, not just a SWAT team. So this gentle giant, its life is extinguished due to a mother's negligence or the parent's negligence. This child, and I know all the facts will come out at some point as to what really happened. But yeah, the parents have to be held accountable. They have to be punished. The zoo, I think, needs to come under greater scrutiny and supervision based on animal rights groups and based on whatever the organization that zoos belong to. And maybe the city has to fine them. You know, maybe the management has to be looked at and possibly reorganized, and maybe there's demotions and punishments to be meted out. I don't know for sure, but we're dealing with child endangerment. We're dealing with the endangerment of animals, perhaps even child abuse. But this animal did not exhibit nor commit any violent acts, any acts that resemble aggressiveness or violence or potential violence. We also talked about today the so-called big game trophy hunters. Not small game, not hunters that stock their freezer, that maybe even share their food with their neighbors and people that are in need and trying to eat healthier. And, you know, I don't have an issue with that. And it's also a much more fair contest, if you will. It's not the fairest contest because the animal doesn't have a gun, you know, it's a rabbit or a deer or pheasant or quail or whatever. But the point is that they know the terrain. They have hiding spaces. They, you know, there's no borders or boundaries that they're enclosed in. It's not that even if a human tries to study the terrain, they're not going to know it as well as the animals. And so, and they are living in their natural environment. You know, they weren't just trucked in or shipped in or flown in to a completely different country and continent. the largest, the most iconic elephant in Africa because he wanted a trophy. And he did it illegally. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing that, you know, these game preserves, you know, you can't charge them because in Texas and other places, it's legal. How lawful it is, how moral it is, you know, that's a whole other issue. But the fact is that these guys think they can get away by paying off, you know, some low-level safari guys or game preserve guys. And I really think that if our country wants to do something great beyond trying to help with starving nations, is that help these smaller countries, you know, these, you know, whatever it takes. I think private efforts, I think even public efforts to stop these atrocities that are being committed, that are annihilating, that are extinguishing endangered species. Now, the elephant happens to be my favorite animal, and I always felt this way. And the more I learn, the more I know about elephants, I realize that they are really incredibly sensitive, special, wonderful animals. And how about the abuse they had to endure through these circuses? And then how about the abuse that these elephants in India and in other countries, especially on the Pacific Rim, you know, the Asian countries, where they, you know, one elephant is carrying like 15, 20 people, you know, and in extreme heat. We're talking about heat that's 100, 110, 120, 130 degrees or more. So many of these animals, they're mistreated, they're not fed properly, they're dehydrated, and they have really no life of their own. Now, I don't have a problem with horses being utilized in a very humane and fair way, but to take advantage of elephants like that, or there was, you may have read this a few months back, there was an elephant that, I guess for 20-some years, he was chained to, I guess, this guy's residence, and he would try to make money by people coming up and, I guess, throw money into a tin can or whatever, and, you know, and he would whip the animal to do certain things. And so all this animal knew was to be, he was chained and kept in one spot. And one of the animal rights groups, you know, kept the pressure on, and I think that they finally, I think they actually were able to break the chains and get this animal released. And they put him into a preserve. And the animal recovered, and he ended up, as far as we know, happy again. And I'm deeply affected by stories like that. And then when I hear about the incident, you know, I cannot look at those commercials when it has to do with the shelters and the abuse and the stories of abuse. I cannot look at these stories and read in detail what happens to these, you know, these animals that are poached. You know, the ivory is taken, the animal is still alive, and they're sawing off, you know, the ivory tusk. And then you read about the baby elephants and the other family members. They're crying out. You know, they're so affected by this. And you see this with dolphins, you see this with other with more highly evolved animals. But there's an intelligence, and there is a specialness with these animals, and there's an emotional component with them, and it's not all instincts, it goes beyond instincts. And I cannot fathom how anyone could live with themselves inflicting any kind of harm or abuse to animals. I just think that going back to this incredibly wonderful, gentle giant of a gorilla, that there was, this child was not in imminent danger, and there was no action taken to restrain or an intervention, as in like a rescue team. It didn't seem like there was any game plan except just to assassinate or to execute this animal. And he did nothing to warrant that. Now, I do understand that the child, if, and they're saying, well, we have financial risk. You know, we have, you know, our brand imaging. You know, what if this child were to have been maimed, or killed tragically in this very sad incident? Well, all this, there was no signs. There was not a single sign detected that this animal was acting aggressively. What bothered the animal more than anything was how aggressive the people were, you know, in the peanut gallery, you know, they were the interference, the noise. They were the aggressive ones, and so there was no one there saying, okay, you got to move away, you got to go back, you know, let us take care of this, let us do the crisis management. So I vehemently, wholeheartedly disagree with the decision that was made. In spite of potential dangers, I think this was mishandled. I have to believe, and I know that it could have been handled differently. And I just, I mean, you see these amazing zookeepers, you see these amazing folks, that how they work with animals. And you'd have to think that there could have been a way of luring him, that, you know, whether it was, and they could have still done the tranquilizing thing. Couldn't there have been any food that could have distracted him? Wasn't there anything that this animal could have, for a moment or two, where rescue teams came in and seized the child, recovered the child, and secured him away? I'm just appalled and disgusted with the whole thing, and it's very depressing. But I guess you're seeing another side of me, of how animals have such an effect on me, and I don't mind being in the minority. I don't mind being on the outside looking in. But it appears to me, based on everything that I've read and everything that I've heard, that I'm actually part of a majority that are very, very upset with the zoo, very upset with this family, and deeply saddened and sulking over the unnecessary death, the killing of this magnificent, gentle giant of a gorilla. I'm Tom Donahue for Tom Donahue Reports, Philly Freedom. Till we meet again, have a great night.